3, we will begin a series for over the next several weeks, and so this is the first of the series. We'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Once you are there, I invite you to stand in honor of reading God's living and holy word. Hear the word of the Lord. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Father, we do bow before you, and we pray that you would give us a spirit of wisdom. Have the eyes of our hearts enlightened that we may know what is the hope to which you have called us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, over the next number of weeks, we are going to be looking at some things that I hope are timely. Some things that to make sure that we are focused on as a church and as families and even as individuals, looking at what it means to be devoted. And so we're going to look over the next several weeks at what the Bible says about what it means to live or to have a devoted life, a committed life. What does that look like? How does a person, devoted person to Christ act? What are we to do? What should be part of the disciplines of our life? And so I'm going to give you several things this morning to think through and some questions to ask yourselves to reflect on as we work through these several topics over the next several weeks. And you may want to write them down. I hope that you will write them down so that you can truly consider them and meditate on them and be prayerful with them. And the first question I want us to consider is, am I devoted? This question really sets the foundation of what we're going to be discussing over the next couple of weeks, because we will be looking at what it means to be committed or to be devoted, to be focused on the right things. And to live the right way and to show Christ in our life, in our actions and in our words and in our attitudes. But we have to begin with this basic question. Am I devoted? Am I committed? Because it is important for us to recognize that the answer to this question is yes. You are devoted. Every one of us here are devoted to something. We may or may not be devoted to the right things, but we are all devoted to something. And so we need to really ask this question in a more specific way. Are we, or you, devoted to Christ? Are we devoted to Christ? Because the truth is that we are all devoted, even if you don't feel like you're devoted to something. Some of us are devoted to the Lord and we live that out in our lives, the way we live. Others are devoted to their work. And maybe in their spiritual things and their lives has gotten a little sloppy, but when it comes to their work, they keep that in order. That stays good. They are devoted to making sure that their work stays good. And some of you are devoted to family, which is a great thing. But we know even that can go a little too far. You can idolize your family. But some of you perhaps are right now just hearing these words and are like, I'm not really devoted to anything. Well, if someone says they're not devoted to anything, it's probably because they are devoted to their own leisure, their own wants, their own relaxation, their own things that they find fun. Perhaps they're devoted to laziness. That's possible. But we are all devoted to something. If you are a student, you have a test coming up, and you are devoted to making good grades, you are going to prepare for that test. You are going to study for that test. And if you don't study at all, maybe you're just more devoted to watching TV or playing on the internet or your phone. More devoted to that than you are to getting good grades. Whatever it is, whatever you do, every one of us, we do on the basis of what we are devoted to, what is important to us, our priorities. We are all devoted, all of us. The reason you got up this morning and came to church today in negative degree weather is because you are very devoted to coming to church, to coming to worship. The reason you get up tomorrow and go to work is because you are dedicated to your job. Or perhaps you're more dedicated to your job than you are getting fired from your job. But you're still dedicated to it. The reason you get up early to pray or to read or to exercise, it's because you're devoted to those things. The reason you sleep in is because you're more devoted to sleep than you are those other things. Whatever it may be, but we are all devoted. And so what I want to do is I want to try to help us in this series by the grace of God through His Word is to help us, each of us, to take a look at our lives through the lens of Scripture and to ask ourselves, what am I devoted to? And today specifically, I want us to reflect on, am I truly devoted to Christ? Am I devoted to Christ? Am I devoted to pursuing Christ? And so this morning we're going to look at two different passages. First I want to begin by looking at the passage we just read in Philippians 3 and starting in verse 12, where Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And so the first thing, if you're writing this down, the first thing that I would encourage you to write down is that we need to notice how we must avoid spiritual complacency. Spiritual complacency, spiritual smugness, self-satisfaction where we are in our spiritual life. And Paul is writing this letter and he makes this very statement, and if anyone is a mature believer in the days in which Paul is writing, it would be Paul, right? We would all consider Paul to be a very mature believer, but Paul himself says he has not already obtained this. I am not already perfect. I am not already who I am going to be. And so Paul wants to make sure that he never begins to coast, to think, because I've come this far, I'm mature. Because I'm here whenever the doors are open, I've been a believer for many years, you know, I've earned the right to just sort of coast for a while. But no, Paul says, I am pressing on. I'm moving forward. And he gives us the reason. He says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So if you are a believer, if your life has been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, that should change you. You should not be the same person that you were before you became a believer. This should transform you. But, as Paul indicates here and many other places in the Scripture, and as we see this in our own experience, you are a work in progress, are you not? We all are. Nobody goes from spiritually unsaved person to come to know Christ, and then all of a sudden they are just perfect. They have everything all together. They never lose their temper. They never are rude. They are never selfish. No, we all still struggle with these things. We are all a work in progress. Theologically, this process is called sanctification. And it is a lifelong process until we reach glory. We all have things in our life that we're trying to still gain victory over, that we're trying to put our trust in the Lord in. But if you're not making this progress, if you're not pressing forward, it's not that you're just standing still. It's actually that you're declining. And when it comes to the Christian life, if you're not pressing on, then you begin to fall. You get out of the routine. You are not constantly filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. You are not growing in Christ. And so if we're going to be devoted to Christ, we must be like Paul and press on. Move forward. Keep going forward. We can't afford to get lazy. We must avoid spiritual complacency. We can't just let ourselves slip into a rut. And too many of us in our spiritual life are like a washing machine on spin cycle. It's loud. I know what a washing machine is. Casey's giving me a look. I don't do laundry often. But anyway, it's active. It's loud. It's busy. There's a lot of things going on, but really, it's not going anywhere. And some of us, that's our spiritual life. We're active. We're busy. We're doing lots of things, but we're not really making any progress. We've become complacent. We've quit being devoted to the right things. We've quit being devoted to pursuing Christ. We get settled in, happy where we are. The next thing I would encourage you to write down is we need to look at what lies behind or lies ahead. Look at what lies ahead. Look at verse 13. Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. And Paul uses the language in this verse. It's using the language of one that is running a race, straining forward, pressing on toward the goal of the prize. And so if you are to make progress, you don't look back. What happens if you are if you try to run a race looking back over your shoulder? You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to lose concentration of your destination. And the Bible actually describes that there is a good way, a helpful way, to look backwards, and then there is a wrong way to look backwards. And so it is a mistake when people don't respect the past. It is a mistake when we don't know the past and we don't learn about the past. In fact, the Bible tells us itself. The Bible itself tells us that the Old Testament was written as an example to us. That when we read the old stories of the New Testament and the Gospels, and we read the stories of the Old Testament, we learn from that. We learn the character of God. So that we can learn from other people's mistakes and what they've, and so that we don't repeat them. And so we need to learn the stories of how God was faithful in the past and how God has worked in people's lives. We need to learn the stories of people who have come before us to emulate what they have done right and good and avoid what they have done wrong. That's the right way to look back. But there is a dangerous way as well to look back. When we look in this verse, we see that Paul says, I'm forgetting what lies behind. And so what he's talking about there, what we're looking at specifically, is that things that we've accomplished, things that we've done, things that that we've been able to do. We don't want to look back at those accomplishments and become enamored with ourselves. We don't want to turn and glance back from the goal as we're progressing, as we're running this race, as we're on this journey. We don't want to take our eyes off the goal, off the goal and the destination, to look back and to be indulged in the contentment of our past achievements. We do this quite often in church. We hear quite often, perhaps we're all guilty of making these statements. You know, I remember when I used to sing in the choir. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to volunteer and teach Vacation Bible School. I used to come up here and serve in the church. And so pretty soon we get just kind of impressed with what we used to do. And we start not remembering the past, but living in the past. And that's a dangerous thing for a church to do, to live in the past. So I want to encourage you, as a congregation, there are some of you in this room that have served the Lord for many years, who have served for decades, and we want to learn from your experience. We want to learn from your example. But we should be able to learn just as much from your example today as the example you were for us in the past. And so here in the beginning of the year, the new year, 2024, the Lord has for every one of us great opportunities. Great opportunities lie ahead for us. We have opportunities this year to serve and to minister to others, to pray for those who are sick, to pray for those who are grieving. You have opportunities to make disciples. You have opportunities to share the gospel. And so it's a brand new year, kind of a clean slate in a sense. The canvas is clear, and before us is nothing but a wide open door of opportunities. But those that need our ministry this year will not be satisfied with what we used to do. We must be the hands and feet of Christ today. We don't ever want to live in the past in such a way that we miss what lies ahead. And so I want to give an example of this. As parents, we would not parent this way. So as a parent, if you have kids at home, you would never say to your child, You know what? Last year we just had so much fun at your birthday. We had such a blast celebrating your birthday last year. So much fun that I'm not going to go to your birthday party this year because I just want to sit at home and think about how much fun I had last year. Or you're not going to say if you have a new child, a new baby in the home. Last year, our baby started crawling. This year, our baby started walking. But I don't really care too much about watching her walk. Instead, I'm just going to sit back and think about how fun it was to watch her crawl. We don't parent like that. Why? Because though we love the past, though we love those memories of the last year's birthday and the memories of the baby crawling, we don't want to miss a second of the time we have left, the time that lies ahead. And if we're not careful, we get very spiritually complacent and spiritually lazy. Know the past, honor the past, be grateful for the past, but never live in the past. Never live in the past in a way that makes you miss what lies ahead. And look at verse 14. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so we are to not get spiritually complacent, just to be self-satisfied where we are in our lives, in our spiritual lives. We are always to be pressing forward, always wanting to be growing, always want to be serving. We don't want to live in the past in such a way that we miss what lies ahead. And what is ahead is the goal. And Paul says the goal is Christ. The goal is to know Christ and to make Him known. And with Christ, we are to be satisfied. Christ is enough. The goal, the prize is not heaven. It's not glory. It's Jesus. He is the prize. He is what you get in the gospel. He is what you get in glory. He is what makes heaven, heaven. If He was not there and you are a believer in Him, you could never be truly happy and satisfied in heaven. Who would want to be in heaven without Christ? Paul says, I want Christ. I want to gain Christ. He is the prize, and I must keep my eyes fixed on Him. In Him we are satisfied. Christ is enough. He is sufficient. He is what we are progressing towards, to know Him and to be more like Him. But once again, we have to be careful when it comes to these things. We must be careful because with our mouth, this is easy to profess. Christ is enough. If I just asked each and every one of y'all, is Christ enough for you? Absolutely, yes. He is sufficient. He is all I need. But when it comes to our lives and living that way, it gets a little bit more complicated. We live our lives completely different. So often we live in a way that we're not satisfied. So often we feel like we deserve a little bit more. We deserve a little bit easier life. I mean, after all, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm deserving of hell and judgment. Yes, Christ came and He was crucified on the cross. And the Lord brought Him back to life on the third day. And He has rescued me from hell. And He has given me eternal salvation. And He has promised never to leave me or forsake me. Yes, this is great. But if he would never leave me or forsake me, and give me an easier job, more money, fix my family, then I would be good. Then I would be satisfied. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we devoted to? Is Christ enough for you? The goal is to know Christ and to make Him known. And that's all we need, church. Those who are devoted to the Lord believe that and live that. In verse 15, Paul says, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So we need to hold true to the Word of God. We need to hold true to the things that we believe. Hold true to the things that we are to be devoted to. So we, our devotion, we are all devoted to something. And we must be careful not to become spiritually complacent, satisfied where we are. We must look to what lies ahead, keep our eyes fixed on the goal, and the goal is Christ, and we must hold on to that. So the next passage I want us to look at, if you will, is 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. If you would turn there with me. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. It says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people, and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So I want to look real quick at this passage, this statement, a few statements in this passage that I think fit well with what it means to be devoted to Christ. And the first question I want to ask you from this passage for us to reflect on and to consider is, am I spiritually stable? Am I spiritually stable? Verse 17 says that we don't want to be carried away with error and lose our own stability. And so there are people who are spiritually speaking, they are not stable. They do not daily take in the truth. They do not listen to the teaching of God's Word. They do not surround themselves with Christian sisters and brothers that will inspire them and encourage them and hold them accountable. They don't use their spiritual gifts to further the kingdom. And what happens as a result of that is they become unstable. So as an example, for a while now, all of us have had the privilege of walking on an icy parking lot, right? You don't fall every step when you walk on ice. In fact, you may make it from the car to the front door and not fall one time. And I hope we all make it from the front door to our cars without falling. You may take 50 steps and stay on your feet, but when you walk on ice, you take 50 good steps and you fall once, you can do a lot of damage. You can really hurt yourself. You may even be confident enough to drive on ice and make it to your destination and do just fine. Have no problem. But you slip just once, you can be in great danger, can't you? This is what happens spiritually in people's hearts. So I didn't read my Bible at all in 2023. So I didn't pray every day or once a week. So I didn't go to church as often as I probably should have. I'm still fine. I'm still good. It's no big deal. So I didn't focus on whatever is true and honorable and pure. I am still good. God still loves me, and I still love Him, and I'm good. But they're walking on ice. They don't fall every step, but if you walk on ice long enough, you're going to lose your stability. If you only fall once, you could do great damage to yourself and those around you. And church, I want you to be stable. My desire is that your spiritual life and your home would be spiritually stable. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. It just means that you're going to stay on your feet. You're going to stay focused on Christ. You're going to keep pressing forward. It means that you don't slip and fall at every turn when things happen in your life. It means that every time something gets difficult in your life, you don't just throw everything up in the air and start all over. I want you to be spiritually strong and spiritually stable. How do you do that? It's verse 18. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So grow in grace and grow in knowledge. These are two things, of course. They are related, but they are separate in a way. To grow in knowledge is just what it sounds like, to literally learn more about God, who He is, what He has done, His character, what He expects of us. Of course, the way you grow in knowledge is to read His Word, to read and to study. You come to church, you go to Sunday school, you go to where the Word of God is being taught. You read books that help you understand the Word of God better. And this is a very important part of our Christian life. It is necessary for us to be able to stay spiritually stable, to grow in knowledge. But for most of us, though, the more challenging part is the flip side, to grow in peace or grace, to grow in grace. Of course, by His grace, by God's grace, God has forgiven our sins and given us all full rights as His children in Christ. We can't get more grace than that. But we live under the grace of Jesus, the grace that He provides, and He gives us opportunities to grow spiritually stronger and deeper. So to grow in grace is to mature. As a Christian, that word sanctification again, the process of becoming more like Christ is synonymous with growing in grace. It is a part of growing and maturing. We grow in grace by reading God's Word. We grow in grace by fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, by studying and praying, letting the Word richly dwell in us. We understand it, and we apply it to our lives. Growing in grace is the ability to live out what you have learned. So to practice what you've been taught. So to grow in knowledge is to say that this is what the Lord wants me from me. I see it in Scripture. I hear it taught from the pulpit, in the classrooms. This is what the Lord wants from me. This is growing in knowledge. Growing in grace is to leave the church and to do that very thing. And I think most of us in this room would all agree that that's the harder part, right? Most of us are more willing to learn than we are to change. But we are called to grow in grace and knowledge. To pursue Christ, to be devoted to Christ, is to know Him and to grow in His grace, to know what to do and to grow in the ability to practice it. And this is a process. It's not just like you're growing in grace by stacking Legos. No, this is a development, a lifelong development. Look, turn with me real quick to chapter 1 of 2 Peter here. And so Peter, he writes, I'll just begin in verse 3, but really want to draw our attention to verses 5 and 7. Just listen to what Peter is saying. And this, to me, describes once we become believers, once God has granted us faith, we are to grow. Press on towards the goal. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. He has saved you. He has given you faith. He has rescued you from the gates of hell. Christ is enough. Because He has done this, look what it says, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. So along with faith, adding this to your faith, make every effort with your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to grow. And it's as one thing leads to another. As you grow a biblical virtue, this leads to knowledge. And then it makes it a little easier to be self-controlled, right? And then you are steadfast in this, and this leads to more godliness. It's an organic development as you study God's Word, as you press on. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be spiritually stable. And that means that you're not living your life on ice, but you are stable. You live your life spiritually on dry ground with your feet planted on God's Word. How do you do that? By growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You take it in, you leave it out. You learn it, you practice it. And that's what it means to be devoted to Christ. You are devoted to knowing Christ. You are devoted to pursuing Christ and growing in Him. So real quick this morning, I want to close. I'm not closing yet, so keep your Bibles open. But I do want to close by giving you a few more questions. And I hope that you're writing these down and that you reflect on them, especially throughout the year, meditating on them. My desire the coming weeks, my desire today and the weeks to come is not to press down on you or to make you feel guilty or to make you feel manipulated or to twist your arm or leaning on you. My desire is to help you ask yourself tough questions. To ask yourself tough questions so that the Holy Spirit can do a work in your heart so that you can become spiritually stable. And question one. And in the weeks to come, we'll go on. This is basically just a foundation of what we're going to be working on in the next couple weeks. So we'll elaborate more. These are basically an introduction of some of the things that we are going to deal with and what the Bible says on how we are to grow in these things in the weeks to come. Write this down, if you would. Do I set aside time to pray? Do I set aside time to pray? Now, it's true that you can pray anytime. The Holy Spirit has granted you access to the Father through Christ. And so we can pray around the clock. We can pray on our way to work or to way to school. We can pray at any time. But what I'm asking you is, do you set aside time to pray? Now, I've been doing this a long time now, and I can tell you that through my years of experience in my own life and the years of experience that I have ministering to other people, if you do not set aside time to pray, you will not be as spiritually stable as you need to be. And this is one of the great things about the new year. It's a great time to make some necessary changes in your daily routine. It's an opportunity to make a fresh start. So if you are not setting aside a time to pray, you can do that today. Make a change in your routine. Start today. If you are married, pray with your spouse. Pray with your children. Pray as a family. But also set aside time for you to get alone with the Lord and pray. So do I set aside time to pray? Second question, do I make gathering for worship a priority? Now, I must admit, those of you who are here have battled the cold weather to be here. So I understand that you probably do make worship a priority, but do we do that? Do we continue that throughout the year? Yes, we can worship God anywhere. But there's something unique and special about the body of Christ gathering as the New Testament describes the first day of the week. This is an important part of the Christian life. And we have to ask ourselves, how easy is it for us to miss church? Do we come to church when it's just convenient? Do we just when we have time to fit it in? Just when we can? How important is it to us? There's a benefit to having a home church. I know we can watch church on TV. Some people just hop from church to church. I like hearing this and this, but there is a great benefit to having a home church. Being around people that know you, that love you, that care for you, enough to be saying, when you're slipping on ice, to hold you accountable, to ring you back in and say, hey, let's work on this together. People that love you enough to say, let's work on this. The Lord has designed us to be part of a local congregation where you can be blessed and where you can be a blessing to others, where you can receive ministry from others, and where you can minister to other people. And that's what it means to be spiritually stable. Moving on to the third question I want you to think about. Did I share the gospel in 2023? Did I share the gospel in 2023? That's a tough one, right? This is a tough one, and I don't want to give you too much relief here, but if your answer is no, you're not alone. In fact, the group you're in is probably quite large. And statistics tell us that within self-professed believers, those who profess to be Christians, a very low percentage actually share the gospel within a year. Now that may be normal among us, maybe normal among churches, but that's not the way it should be. Maybe you haven't shared the gospel in the last 12 months because you are nervous or afraid. But I want to encourage you to take that to the Lord in prayer. Go to Him and pray. Say, it's a new day. And my goal in life is to know Christ and to make Him known. Recommit your life to the things of Christ. Let's live in a way that shows our devotion. Let me give you one more question. Do I give purposefully and regularly? Do I give purposefully and regularly? The Bible teaches us that we are to use what God has given us and give it back, to invest it into the work of the ministry. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I giving out of what God has given me? These are just four questions that we will reflect on them as the coming weeks, and that I want you to reflect on as well. It will help us to know whether we are devoted to the right things. It's one thing for us to say that we are devoted, but it's another to show it in our life. And so over the course of the next several weeks, we are going to look at scripture after scripture, to look through the lens of God's word to help us say, here are some things I need to do to make a new commitment, to be more devoted. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not going to beg you for money. I am not going to beg you to serve. I'm just going to try to gracefully and lovingly take you through God's word and say, here's how the Lord can use you. Here's what it looks like to be devoted to the right things. So let's look at what Scripture says about these things and let us be humbled by it. And then let's, with big eyes, look at 2024 and say, Christ, I exist for You. And I'm going to be devoted to You. Let's resolve to do that together. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do bless You for our Savior, who was our perfect example in all things. And He gives us the grace we need to persevere, to run, so as to win the race, or the win the prize, and to obtain Him and to gain Him. Help all of us just press on, to strain forward to what lies ahead. Help us to grow in Your grace. Help us to be devoted to Christ, not just in our words, but in our actions and even in our attitudes, so that we will be spiritually stable. And let's glorify him now and to the day of eternity. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we respond to God's word and song?